This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله نرسل الصلاة القائمة أنت محمد سيدة وفضيلة مقام النحم الذي وعطوه إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهم رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم وما يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أيها المسلمون Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in his most noble book, Tawakkaltu 'ala Allah, have trust in Allah if you are indeed believers. We hear this phrase a lot, trust in Allah, have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does it mean? What are its implications in our lives? And what are the results of having it? This is what we'll discuss today shortly, inshallah. Trust is something you give to someone. But tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trust beyond capabilities to understand why. We trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowing the plan, without knowing
Like if you trust someone, you usually have reasons that you trust them. I trust this person because we've done business in the past, you know, and he's always been in right with me, and I trust this person because I've known my Lord. We trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unequivocally. Unequivocally, we trust him with everything. But what are its realities? What are its realities? I'll give you a couple of examples, insha'Allah ta'ala. Because the world right now is crazy. It's crazy. Those of you who are looking what's going on around the world, we're not just talking about in Gaza, we're talking about globally. Globally, the world is upside down. And it does not seem to be getting any better anytime soon. So how do we reconcile this? We see the world is full of darkness. It's full of evil. It's full of oppression. It's full of difficulties. It's full of hardship. It's full of tyrants. It's full of tyranny. How do we reconcile this with a just Lord? How do we reconcile this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is Al-Adl? How do we reconcile this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is Ar-Rahman, who is Al-Latif? How do we reconcile the two? At the time of Musa, alayhi salam, there was a tyrant as well. One of the most famous of all time, Fir'aun, the Fir'aun. There have been many types of pharaohs throughout history, but the Fir'aun, referred to in the Quran, the Pharaoh at the time of Moses, was one of the worst tyrants that the world has ever known. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved him and promised that I would preserve you as a sign to the nations to come after you. And we know today he's still preserved. He's in a museum in Egypt, and he's traveled around the world. He's probably traveled to more countries than most of us. At his time, he had Bani Israel in bondage, in slavery, and they were being persecuted. And for generations, they had been making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them freedom, to send someone to them, to give them some escape. And there was a child born named Musa. And when this child was young, Fir'aun had a dream that there would be one of these children alive right now that would grow up and overthrow him and be his destruction. So what did he do in response? He ordered that all of the young sons of Bani Israel under a certain age be slaughtered. Kill all of them. This is the way of tyrants. They just get rid of their enemies. So all of these children were being slaughtered left, right, and center. But Musa had to be saved. Musa had to be spared. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to Musa's mother. To Musa's mother. And told her the plan to save Musa. Right? The plan to save Musa was simple. Take your child, your infant. Put him in a box. Put that box in the river Nile. And let it go. That was it. That was all of the plans she was given. She wasn't told anything else. She wasn't told the continuation that this is how it's going to go. No. Put him in the box. Allah commanded you to put him in a box, put him in the Nile River, and let him go. Now, the Nile River is not some little, you know, bubbling brooks like we have here in Texas. The Nile River is something akin to the Mississippi. You know, it's not a river you just jump into. I spent a couple of years in a flat right in front of the Nile River on a road known as Sha'ri Kunishanil in Cairo. It's not a, I never jumped in it. You know, I would see kids born and raised. I think you have to be born and raised in Egypt to jump in that river. But to place your child in, if you are a parent, you can understand the complexity of this. I have to put an infant in a box. I don't know where he's going and just put him in the Nile River. But Musa's mother had tawakkul. Tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She did not need to know the whole plan. She just knew that if Allah commanded her to do something, then she'd do it and Allah would take care of the rest of the plan. Now, what happens? She puts him in the box. The box starts floating down the Nile River. And where does this box end up? Usually in my talks I ask for responses, but Juma, you can speak. Where does this box go? This box arrives in Pharaoh's backyard. And now Musa's mother, even though she trusted in Allah, she also was a mother. She was a mother. So she sent her daughter to go and see where your brother goes. Go and look. Go and report to me what happens to him, right? Keep an eye on him. This is a mother's love. It's unequivocal. So the box goes to Fir'aun's backyard. Can you imagine if we were in today's world with this modern technology, right? And Musa's sister sends a picture, a text message, or a Snapchat, or whatever have you, to Moose's mother that, hey, look where this box went. This box went to the very backyard of the person whom you put him in the box to protect him from. You know, imagine if that was a movie or a TV series going on. The box floats into Pharaoh's backyard. They show a big picture of his palace. And then, dun, 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 we'll see you next week. All week long, we'll be like, oh, it's over. You know, that's it. That boy is done. That's it. It's over. The game's over. He went to the very place he was supposed to be protected from. Or if Moses' sister was able to tell her mother, this is where it went, maybe she would have been like, you know, this is not what I agreed to. You know, this plan is not working out. No. I didn't agree to send him to the very person who's trying to kill him. Allah doesn't need you to know the whole plan. Allah doesn't need you to know the whole plan. He works in His own ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in ways that you and I are unable to comprehend. This is why He says to have tawakkul in Him. Trust Him without an understanding because you can't grasp it. We know how that story goes. Fir'aun is found by who? Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun who held Iman in her heart. And Asiya convinced Fir'aun. She took this child and Allah gave her an immediate love for him, right? She took this child to Fir'aun. This is also shows you, this is a little side lesson for our brothers, is that your wife, for those of you who are married, and if you've been married for more than 5-10 years, you know this already. And if you don't, learn it now. And if you're not going to get married, if you're not and you're going to get married, learn this now. Your wife has a superpower. She has a superpower. That superpower is called the power of persuasion. That power of persuasion. When your wife really wants something, if she's been married to you 5, 10, 15 years, she knows you well enough, she's going to get what she wants, one way or the other. I've learned it's easier just to surrender early. Surrender early in the battle is just is easier, much easier for you. So Fir'aun convinces through the power of persuasion for Fir'aun to adopt his own destruction. Not only does he adopt his own destruction, they try to find a wet nurse for this child. Because you couldn't go to the store and buy formula. That's just not the way it worked. You had to find someone to breastfeed this child. So they brought one wet nurse after another, after another, after another. He wouldn't take from any of them. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wouldn't take from any of them. And Musa's sister's watching this whole scenario, right? And they're getting very frustrated. So finally she sees an opening and she comes and says, look, can I give you a suggestion of a woman whom I can bring and I can almost assure you that he will take from her. At that point, the child is dying. So they're like, you know, whatever, bring whomever. If it works, it works. So who does she go and get? She goes and gets Musa's mother. She goes and gets his mother. His mother comes. Can you imagine probably her realization when she realizes where her son is? He's in the palace of Fir'aun. The very person who's trying to kill him, whom you sent it, he's in his house now. And you're being commanded to come. So she goes. And as soon as Musa sees his mother, of course, he starts taking from her. And then what happens? Now, Musa's mother is being paid, because this was a job. She is being paid a salary from the royal palace. She's being paid a royal salary. And Musa and her are put under royal guard. Look at the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Her and her son are being paid and put under royal guard for his protection. So not only Fir'aun adopts his own destruction, he pays for it. He pays to protect it. He pays to raise it and its mother. And we know that Musa would eventually raise up, leave Egypt, and then be spoken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent back with his brother Harun, and they would become the reason for the destruction of Fir'aun and the freedom of Bani Israel. The plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to make sense to you. It does not need to make sense to you. Allah knows, He understands. Everything is within His power. Everything is within His grasp. Everything is working out exactly as He has commanded and planned it. Our job as believers is to have tawakkul, to trust Him. To trust Him no matter what it looks like, no matter how it looks like it's going. Our command is to trust Him. He never says to understand me, you have to understand my plan, you have to comprehend it. No, just trust me. I got this. This is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't need to make sense to you. There was once at the time of Dawood a woman, right? And this is from the Israeli. There was a time of Dawood, there was a woman. She was a poor woman and she lived her life by sewing things and knitting. And she would sew and knit things and take them to the market and sell them. And from that money, she would then buy enough food for her and her children for that day. She was a widow. And enough material to knit something for the next day. And that's how she lived every single day, day to day, in and out. That's how she lived. One day she was on the way to the market and a bird came and snatched up her knitting. Snatched up that which she had to make for the next day and took off with it. And now she has nothing to feed her children. And days go by and her children are starving and she's starving. This bird is acting upon what? Fitrah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Birds don't have a free will. They just do what Allah has commanded them to do. So she goes into the court of Dawood alayhi salam. And she lodges a complaint. She says, well, first she asks a question. She says, is Allah just or is Allah unjust to his slaves? It's a very strange question, right? So he asks, why do you ask this question? Someone has to get to a point. I know I do counseling every single day. There has to be, when people ask certain questions like this, you need to know the why. There's a reason why this person's asked this question. What has happened to bring you to this point? So she explains herself, right? She explains herself and what happened. And, you know, I have nothing now. My children are starving. Is Allah just or is Allah unjust? As all of this is happening, some men come in. And they're carrying with them big bags of gold. And they come in it's a big commotion. Because, you know, they got these men, big bags of gold. They're not from here. And they come and just throw it at the feet of Dawood alayhi salam. And they say, this is sadaqah for Allah, for whomever you deem it to be necessary, whomever you will for. And so Dawood says, hold on a second, what is this story now? They say, we are merchants who travel by sea. And we were on our way from our last trip, and it was successful. But our sail broke on our ship, and we could not navigate the waters. And we got caught in a storm, and we had no way to escape it. And we thought we were going to die. So we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were making dua for Allah if He would save us from this. We would donate all of the proceeds from this venture for His sake. They said, not long after making this dua, a bird flew by our boat and dropped some knitting materials and knitting supplies that we were able to use to repair our sail and thus make it to your land. And here we are fulfilling our oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Dawood looks at the woman. Yeah? He looks at the woman. And he asked her the same question she asked him. Is Allah just or is Allah unjust? Is Allah just or is Allah unjust to you? You have a Rabb who is working for you on land, in the air, and at sea. So is Allah just or is Allah unjust? And he gives all of it to her and makes her a wealthy woman. Because this belongs to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this plan for you. You don't need to always understand. Sometimes we ask, oh Allah, why me? Why are you putting me through such difficulties? Why are these tests happening? Because Allah has a plan. Allah has a reason. Nothing comes into your life. Nothing happens to you unless Allah has willed it and decreed it. Not a leaf falls from a tree. Nothing happens within this universe except it is perfectly in Allah's order and the way He has willed it to be. Our job is simply to trust in Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. When our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was surrounded in his house in Mecca by assassins. His house is surrounded. There's nowhere to go. They're going to kill him tonight. Allah orders him to leave. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He has no idea what the plan is. But he knows that Allah has commanded him to leave. So he leaves. He walks out of his door, reciting from the Quran, blows some dust, and nobody even sees him. Nobody even sees him. They don't even watch him walk away. You don't need to know the plan. After that, he would meet Abu Bakr, because Abu Bakr had stayed behind. You know, everybody else had made hijrah. This is the love. We'll talk about this in our upcoming series on the Companions Promised Paradise. Abu Bakr had such love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He waited. He waited and he waited and he waited. And even the Prophet asked him, why are you waiting? And he said, I can't leave without you. He said, just wait, maybe Allah will give you a good companion to go with. And so he waited and he left with Abu Bakr. And they left at night. In the morning, the Quraysh find out that he's gone. When they find out that it's Ali sleeping in his bed. And look at the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali lays in his bed willingly that night. Willingly. Ali radiallahu anhu wa radha. Another one of the greatest men who have ever walked the face of this planet. Lays in his bed that night. Knowing very well that there are assassins going to come in and could possibly kill him. What did he say about that night? He said, I've never slept so peacefully. He said, that was the most restful night of sleep I have ever had in my life with assassins surrounding. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan and order. As they're leaving, the Quraysh find out what happens. They send many people out to find him. They put a big reward out for him. A big reward. Everybody's looking all over the place for our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bring him back so they can kill him. Nobody can find him except for Saraqa ibn Malik ends up finding him. Saraqa finds him and sees him ahead of him with Abu Bakr. Right? Look at this plan. It's just how it's unfolding. Saraqa is chasing him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr see him. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua to Allah to protect them from Saraqa. And what happens? His horse falls and sinks into the sand and falls. And then he tells them, and it's stuck. So he tells, Ya Muhammad, you see, they knew who this man was. Ya Muhammad, make dua to Allah, I won't chase you no more. So he frees him, and then he starts chasing him again. This happens a couple of times, right? And then finally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stops. And he says, Saraqa, how are you going to be? What is your condition going to be? When one day, you are given the bracelets of Kisra as bounty from the Muslim community. Saraqa's like, what in the world? This guy is being chased as a criminal. He has no army. He has no help. He's literally alone with Abu Bakr. And he's telling me that I'm going to be given the bracelets of Kisra. The greatest empire, one of the greatest empires the world has ever known. He leaves him at that point. He goes back to the Meccans and be like, just leave him. He's crazy. You know, we used to joke about him being crazy. He's legitimately crazy. This man says, I'm going to be given the bracelets of Saraqa. What happens? At the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, when Khalid ibn Walid, the drawn sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings down the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, and the bounty comes into the Muslim community. Saraqa had accepted Islam after Fathul Mecca. But Umar was going through the bounty. And he opened a box and he saw the bracelets that Kisra was famous for wearing. And he remembered the prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, tell Saraqa, come here. This is the honor and dignity that Allah gives to those who trust him. He said, tell Saraqa, come here. And he said, do you remember, Saraqa? Do you remember when you were chasing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he told you that this would happen? And he himself put those bracelets on Saraqa. This is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need to know how it's going to happen. You just need to know that if Allah says it will happen, it will happen. That's all that needs to be known. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he escapes Saraqa, what happens? The Meccans find him again. And they run into the cave of Fawr. They run into this little small cave. For those of you who have been there, you know it's very small. Very small. And there's an opening underneath. Like literally, if you look up under, you can see all the people that are in it. So they hide in this cave because that's all there is. And the Meccans start coming closer. And what does Abu Bakr say to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He becomes scared. He becomes frightened. He's human. He says, O Messenger of Allah, if they look down at their feet, they're going to see us. They're going to find us. What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him? O Abu Bakr, what do you think is going to be the end result of two people whom the third is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do you think is going to happen to two people whom the third is Allah? And of course we know the very famous story that they weren't found. They weren't caught. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go on. Brothers and sisters, you don't need to understand what's happening in the world. I know there's a lot of time we spend, we try to over analyze, you know, we try to hypothesize, we try to look at the politics, we try to look at the dynamics, we try to figure out this is the way it's going to work. No, if they do this, look, it does not matter. Whatever Allah's plan is for this world will be. Whatever Allah's plan for this ummah is, will be. It will be. We cannot escape it. We cannot escape it. The qadr of Allah is fixed. The only thing that can change it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is dua. But did Allah know you're going to make that dua change? This is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is already written. You know that very famous statement we say all the time, maktub, it's written. It's written, and whatever is written with Allah is inescapable. It is inescapable. We don't need to know the plan. We just need to trust the planner. Because the planner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Makaru wa makaru Allah. They plan and Allah plans. Wallahu khayrul maqirin. And Allah is the best of those who plan. Allah is the best of those who plan. So all we are responsible for is trusting Him. Trusting Him. Just trust Him. He knows what he's doing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just need to stand firm. أقول قَالَ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Sometimes in our own life, we do not understand the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting things forward. And I've mentioned this in one of my khatiras, but I wanted to make sure it was recorded for the website and for all of you here today. We wonder why Allah is putting us through certain things. And as human beings, we are obsessed with the why. One of the very first things your children will learn how to say, for those of you who have children, you know this, one of their first words is almost always, why? I don't know why. It's just a fitr from children. They learn the word why. They learn what it means and they use it frequently. Every time you tell them to do something, why? 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 And when you're trying to explain to them the why. So the human psychology is that we must understand the why. It bothers us if we don't understand the why. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawakkul means that you trust without knowing the why. You trust it, even if you don't understand, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it can seems completely backwards, you still go forward and you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once during the pandemic, right? Because during the pandemic, we were asking a lot of whys, right? All of us locked in our house. It was a lot of whys going on in my head during that time. I was sitting with my daughter doing a jigsaw puzzle. And I've used this so much in my therapy sessions, and it's been a tremendous help to a lot of people, and it was helpful to me. We were doing a jigsaw puzzle. And you know, when you do a jigsaw puzzle, there are lots of pieces that make sense right away. Edges, faces, flowers, all these different things, you know where they go. And then there's certain pieces, especially if you do the big jigsaw puzzles like my daughter likes to do. There's certain pieces that you don't know where they go, like a solid piece. There's a solid color piece. You have no idea where it goes. So there were a few of these pieces when we pulled them out. And I was asking my daughter, like, where do these go? She's like, I don't know. I was like, okay, let's just throw them away then. They don't have a place. She's like, no, why would you do that? We're going to need them later on. And something clicked in my head that this is tawakkul. This is your life. This is your life. There are certain things that will happen. And this is the world in general. There are certain things that will happen that won't make any sense. These are those puzzle pieces. But the reason they don't make any sense and the reason they don't have a place is because enough of the puzzle has not been built yet. Enough of the puzzle hasn't been built yet. As you continue to build the puzzle of your life, as this world's puzzle continues to be built, there will be pieces that are missing. And then you'll find that piece that you didn't know where it went, it will go right there where it needed to go. This is the way it always happens. The way it always happens. I questioned why, when I was a child, was I tortured by my stepmother. Like literally tortured. She tortured me mentally and physically. And it mapped the way my brain works. I am highly prone to anxiety till this day in times of ease. And it never made sense to me. I would ask my therapist, why is it that if I am put in high stress situations, if I'm in a very stressful situation, I'm usually the coolest one in the room. My wife says it's very odd about me. Is that, you know, my daughter fell down the steps one day and we thought she had broke her back because she was like, oh, I can't feel my legs, you know, I can't move because she just, you know, she had actually like hit something that had caused her to go numb for a second. And everybody's freaking out, right? But except me. I'm not freaking out. I'm like, let's sit her down. Don't move her. Let's call. Let's see what, you know, she's like, in those high stress situations, I'm uber calm. But then if I'm sitting on my couch on a Sunday afternoon watching football or whatnot, I have panic attacks. Yeah, out of nowhere. Boom. Tachycardia, heart rate goes to 170. I feel like doom and gloom, the angel of death's gonna walk in the room. And I'm like, this makes no sense. At the time when I'm supposed to be relaxing, my brain is sending off fight or flight and dropping adrenaline and cortisol. And I'm in a high stress situation. It doesn't faze me. My therapist said it's because you were raised in a war zone. You were raised in a war zone. You were raised with fear. Your stepmother always taught you to be afraid. Anytime she would see me smile, she would beat me or torture me. She wanted to make sure I had no enjoyment growing up or lock me in my room for weeks on end. She said, so that became the normal state of your brain. Your brain, your hippocampus, which is the part of your center of your brain, it doesn't know time and space. It protects you though. It stores information for later on. She said, your hippocampus doesn't know that you are no longer in that threatening situation. So your normal stasis is that of war. So therefore, when you're in those high stress situations, your brain knows how to respond because that's how it developed. She said, but your brain does not know ease and it has not learned peace yet. So when you are at ease and at peace, that is a warning sign to your brain, because that's when your stepmother used to abuse you. When you would smile, when you would have ease, when you'd have relaxation. So your hippocampus has stored that and knows that whenever he's in this situation, it usually meant danger, danger, danger. So it's sending off these warning signals to you. And I'm thinking to myself, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put me through that as a child? Or I'm looking at the children, like when my daughter comes and asks me about the children of Gaza. Why are they being tortured? Like, if Allah is so just, if Allah is so, why are we going, why are they going through these things? And so I'm asking, why did I go through this? And then I started counseling. I started doing therapy. Psychology was my secular studies, but I started using it during the pandemic because I realized there was a huge need in the Muslim community for mental health services. And between January 2021 till today, I've seen nearly 4,000 Muslims. Nearly 4,000 Muslims who have gone through so many traumatic things. And alhamdulillah, I've not had one bad review yet, and almost 90% of my clients have been repeat clients. And that is that missing piece of the puzzle, is that I went through so much as a child. I went through so much. I went through prison, all these other things, so that now when I talk to people, I understand. I can empathize. I can relate. People have been through trauma. People have been through abuse. People, I watched my mother, if you didn't watch my domestic violence tapes, go watch them. I watched my mother get abused when I did finally make another relationship with her, literally beaten to the hospital time after time after time. So when I talk to people who have been through these situations, I not only now know how to help them, but I can relate to them. I can relate to them. The plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. It is perfect. You just need to let the puzzle continue to be built. And then all of the pieces that are missing will find their place. Allah's plan is perfect because it is by Him. It is by Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I tell you to trust in Allah, when Allah says tawakkul ala Allah, have trust in Allah, then that means we do it abandoningly. We don't need to know what the outcome will be. We don't need to know how it's going to happen. We don't need to know when or where or any of that. We just need to know that it will happen by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know that the promise, the last two I will finish, the promise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that this ummah will be victorious. And the promise of Allah in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that the believers will be successful. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. So now my job is just to stay upon that, stay a part of this ummah, stay a believer, and the success will come insha'Allah ta'ala. However it's meant to happen, Allah knows best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, inshaAllah. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. رب اغفر لنا ذنوبنا واسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على قوم الكافرين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر وإز إسلام المسلمين في كل مكان يرحم الراحمين وذرة الشرك والمشركين. سبحانك ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقيم الصلاة.